John Tumey here with us. Hey, John, tēnā koe.
Kia ora, Dale.
A few things to talk about, but look, I know that Waipiraira over the years...
Great win by the Wahs, bro.
And that's where I wanted to start, mate, the haka. You know, we talk about being proud to be Māori, and sort of unexpectedly, these guys laid down a classy haka, the first time it's ever been done in the NRL. And it speaks volumes, doesn't it, mate? And, you know, this is people power. Nobody coordinated, directed it. But, you know, big ups to those lads who represented us in a way. I loved it. I've looked back on it a couple of times thinking, man, that's was such a cool thing to do. What did you make of it?
Very special. No, of course it's very special. Look, here's the thing. If you want to advertise into Māori communities at all, rugby league's the game. I know rugby is played as the default sport in the rural areas largely. But if you want to get to the urban Māori populations, and that's cities 20,000 or more, that's where you target. It's rugby league, you see. And but it was the Indigenous round, though. And so Indigenous jerseys were worn by a number of clubs. But not all. Because the way Australians operate to the Indigenous people. But over here, the leadership of the Warriors, I remember when Dr. Sir Peter Sharples was briefed in regard to the Warriors' tohu. This is 1993-94, as the team entered the 95 competition. It's had a very strong Māori influence and base. And when Indigenous round comes, well, they represented the Indigenous population of Aotearoa extraordinarily well on that night, not just in the haka, but in the performance that followed it. That is an outstanding Penrith side. They had very few injuries. They had the top side on. And I just thought, this team, if any Kiwi team is going to win the NRL and was the ARL, it'll be this team after that performance on Saturday night.
It was magic, and you mentioned 95. Today is the anniversary of the day that Josh Cronfeld and Jeff Wilson signed contracts with the New Zealand Rugby Football Union, heralding the victory of Rupert Murdoch over Kerry Packer in the battle for the right to televise professional rugby, and that occurred this day back in 1995. MMP, the Prime Minister, throws this one into the mix somewhat unexpectedly. What was your take?
He was caught flat-footed, and he warmed to the idea of first past the post again. In doing that, a Prime Minister in the middle of an election period cannot make policy up on the hoof. Right, what you'd normally steer to is at this stage, we're fighting an MMP setup that was voted in 1993, and played out our first election, I think, in 96, and the rest is history. Now, to turn over a constitution like that, you'd have to go back to a referendum, and for a referendum, that has to go through an annual general meeting of the National Party, and it has not. It's gone nowhere near them. So it's not a Prime Minister can't make policy up on the hoof like that, because if you do, what else have you just made up?
Tēnā koe. I don't sense it's going to go far, but we do know that referenda don't favour our people. I just spoke with Marama Davidson about the $2.4 billion Marae boost that they've launched in their policy. She suggested that there was support. Is that official support from Te Pāti Māori? And I know Willie supports it personally, but I don't know if he's taken that through to the Labor leadership. But even so, overtures that they would support such an idea. Your thinking, please.
Of course. Our policy has been, in fact, a whole campaign, when you see it rolling out this election, is about we will treat you as our marae kāinga treat you. We will house you. We will feed you. We will welcome you. We will provide warmth to you. To do that, to administer our manaakitanga, we have to be resourced to do so. And so as you start to see us heading into this election, the Greens are good partners. But see, the Greens can't make Labor do the business. Willie can't either, because it's not Labor Party policy. And whether Willie's empathetic or not, ask him, is it your policy and are you going to make it your policy? He will say no. Now, the reason why he has to say no is because, like the Green Party and the Labor Party, they're tangata tiriti parties. They've got to look over their shoulder and see what other cohorts of the population, non-Māori, tangata tiriti, wants to have a say over. So the bit about Te Pāti Māori is that we're 100% Māori-owned, 100% Māori-governed, and can progress the way we want to progress. And it's only a matter of time before we hit the top table. And the first time mathematically that we did that was last election. And we're, the campaign will launch in Gisborne, in the Ikaroa Rāwhiti seat, this Sunday. We launch our campaign at our campaign launch, and you'll all will be revealed there in regard to all these matters. Our full policy stack will be released there, and then we'll be highlighted on the campaign trail.
I put this to both Winston and Seymour last week. Didn't get a definitive answer, but I'd suggest to you that while the unemployment rate for wider New Zealand sits in the mid to high fives, Māori unemployment far eclipses that. And we've reached our highest unemployment figures in more than a decade, prompting calls for a stronger Māori voice in economic decision making. So when we look at that unemployment stats, the difference between the mainstream figure and the Māori figure, I suggested to them was racism in the middle. How would you respond to that thought?
If Pākehā, well, whatever the Pākehā unemployment is, Māori unemployment is double that. So when the economy catches the flu, Māori get influenza. What's the most telling? 70% of Māori people are under the age of 40. What's most telling is this is the highest unemployment rate for youth in 30 years, since numbers started to be counted. Okay, we have the largest number of young Māori not in education, training, skills or employment ever in this country's history under this government. So my problem and your problem is we are trying hard to get jobs in the low skill area. We're competing with 110,000 working visa people that arrived. The whole way of calibrating the economy under this government has just been bad, bad, bad for Māori. It's hard for us to get off our knees and get into a workplace when I'm competing with 110,000 people that just arrived, and everyone knows it. So what you do in your immigration policy is you target high-skilled populations. We need doctors, we need nurses, we need engineers, etc. But when you've got heaps of people who, for whatever reason, are lower skilled, you don't import people that take those jobs. So we've never been an anti-immigration party or a nationalist party, never will be. But you've got to calibrate your economy. That's point one. Point two is they strangled the economy even before the Trump war. They strangled the economy before that. They borrowed far too much money to pay off their rich mates. Now, you just can't run a country under a regime like that. And then they covered that all up by making war on Māori people and then on the LGBT communities and then on any other community. Now it's the Chinese. Now it's whoever can burn a bridge to one another and force numbers across to my side of the camp, this regime does it. And so if you look at it across the board, it's the worst, and going back to the unemployment, it's the worst performing regime we've ever had because it cannot blame a oil shock as the 70 happened to the 70s, and that's why the Norm Kirk government was voted out and Muldoon in. So you can't, those were oil shocks. This was a premeditated oil shock caused by an unnecessary war. But prior to the war, we were heading down the gurgler anyway. So there's no defence here, Dale. How the hell they're holding up? And look, final thing I'll say about the political side of things is you cannot trust the taxpayer courier polls. They are rot. You know, they're not. They had to. They resigned before they were kicked out of the regulating authority here in New Zealand. You've got press that continue to use taxpayer courier polls when they are rorted all the time. I won't get into what the rort looks like because I'll be writing an opinion piece on that very shortly. But the fact is, no poll polls Māori sentiment. It's Pākehā sentiment about Māori seats because there's no mathematical cohort or number of Māori that are polled that are worthy of identifying out of 1,000 people where no poll tells you how many Māori were polled. It's a poll of electors. It's not a poll of Māori sentiment and Māori seats. You with me? So it's a rort on two. It's a rort on two levels.
Well, we'll know come November 7, but there is great momentum growing. Like you, John, you know, I feel for our young people, and we've got a young Māori population. We can't do too much for them, but it seems that this outfit are doing as least as they can for them. It's reporting season for our big organisations, and they'll be flatlining as well. But you and I need to get out and do as much as we can to ensure the welfare of our young people going forward. Now, just joining us in the studio is Matthew Tukaki, John Tamahere. And I wonder, because it's his birthday, I wonder if you'd be prepared to sing him happy birthday, John.
Oh, look, he doesn't want to be reminded of his birthday. Have a look in the mirror.
About now, I'm going to start singing like a monkey.
So can I take that as a no, John, that you wouldn't be prepared live on Māori Radio to sing happy birthday to Matthew?
Don't do it. Don't do it.
I've got a cold.
You've got a cold.
All your 12 listeners.
There's nine today.
That's all right. They're nine of the best people on the planet.
That's all right. Mum's tuning in from Canada, so that's kind of like half a nine.
Now, there's a lot more than nine, but anyway, I take the point. So I'll take that as a no then, John.
No.
Okay. All right, mate. Thanks very much for your thoughts today and time.
Thank you, mate.
Tēnā koe. Thank you.